pre-recorded from his basement. It's the Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another landmark edition of the Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour, brought to you by USA Today Sports Media Group's Bills Wire. I'm talking quite slowly right now because I have a frog in my throat that I'm about to clear after I mute my mic here for 1 second. So hold up. There we go. We're back in business. The Buffalo Bills have lost to the Baltimore Ravens 24-17. And honestly, I don't think anyone saw it coming. I think everyone probably thought a win was coming in this game. Baltimore, not very good. Not a very good football team. So that's sarcasm, of course. But still, the Buffalo Bills lost. And it was a story that Bills fans have read 100 times. It's a movie they've seen. They know the ending. The offense just lays an egg in a game where the defense stands on its head for most of it. But we'll get into that discussion. And also, we'll talk about just whatever else we feel like talking about. I'm sure we've got some stories to tell. I'm sure there's some interesting news in the world of English soccer, which is everyone's favorite segment. This is actually England's number one soccer podcast, which is just incredible, seeing as though we're a Buffalo Bills podcast by nature, I guess. So, hold up, another frog in my throat. We are off to a hot start here today.
Oh my goodness.
We had some technical difficulties before the show. And this just shows that you shouldn't go to a Bills tailgate the day before you're gonna the day before you're going to record an hour podcast, because you know tailgating strains your voice a little bit. So anyway, here to discuss these wonderful topics, whatever they are, joining me today to talk about them is McKenna Middlebrook. McKenna, how are you?
I'm doing very, very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm living today. We're killing it out here. Rich Kowalski, resident Dad. Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour guest. He's out this week with a sore throat. He's on putting him on IR.
He's done for the season. Poor Rich.
Poor Rich. Yeah, there's only 3 or 4 weeks left, but
put him down.
Yeah, I'm gonna send him out back. But hopefully he'll be back next week. I don't know. We tried to get other people to show up on this podcast this week because a 2-person podcast, it's good, but I prefer having 3 people, because then that way I get to talk less, which works for me. So, but nobody, everyone's busy. It's almost
canceled.
Like, yeah, everyone's canceled. It's like everyone has responsibilities on Monday at 11:30 a.m. It's like, pfft.
I should be studying for a final I have, but you know, I'm doing my job.
Well, thank you, McKenna. You know, I very much appreciate it.
Everyone else isn't, but you know, what can I say?
Yeah, we got Nick Wotan doing whatever he does. He just said, "Sheet, I'm packed." What does that mean?
Yeah.
Are you at what? Sheets? Are you at the Pennsylvania gas station? But whatever.
Yeah.
Bills Wire is canceled. As a whole, Bills Wire is canceled.
All of them.
We're taking over. This is a formal declaration of war against Bills Wire. This is now Variety Hour Wire. I'll buy the domain. I'm probably going to get canceled for saying this. And then you'll know why. People will be like, "Where'd the Kyle Szilagyi Variety Hour go?" Oh, well, he declared war?
On the Bills Wire? And just wire, like all the wire sites as a whole? Yeah. Oh, no. It wasn't OJ. It wasn't Jerry Jones. It was, you know, just him declaring war on just everyone, really, the entire NFL.
And so then I got canceled. What if that's how I get canceled?
That would be the best cancellation I've ever seen. Like, you know, we cancel a lot of people nowadays, but sometimes it's not for the right reasons. But this one is, you know, just completely just being a real Benedict Arnold over here.
It's warranted. Know? I would warranted. Say my cancellation would be warranted. Hashtag Kyle is over party. So there's no Rich here this week. That's the point there.
yeah.
So Rich isn't here. D-Lo's has a day job, you know, the usual. So I was going to skip over Premier Rich this week, seeing as there is no Rich, so it wouldn't be Premier Rich. But also, I feel like you probably want to talk about this weekend's game, so I'll throw it to you. What went down in the world of English soccer this weekend?
So I think what we recorded on Sunday or Monday last week, Manchester United and Tottenham Spurs had yet to play, and going into the game, it was clear that the Spurs were gonna win it because they're a better team, better, quote unquote, better manager. But they just got schooled by Manchester United, my club, 2-1. There wasn't really even that close throughout most of it. Dele Alli had an amazing goal for Spurs though. But yeah, United came out with a 2-1 victory. Great banter in Slack. You love when Manchester United beats Spurs because you can just rub it in Nick's face, you can rub it in Rich's face. It's great times all around. And then on Saturday, I think it's Saturday, it might have been Sunday, I don't know.
Whatever.
It was the Manchester Derby.
Right.
And again, Manchester United won 2-1, a surprising upset, you know. They've beaten Jose Mourinho and Pep Guardiola in 4 days with minimal rest, I should say. And now they're sitting fifth at the Premier League table. Sensational stuff all around. Great week for Manchester United, you know. Just sensational football, slick football. But, you know, I wish I could rub it in Rich's face right now. Like, that's, like, the biggest disappointment because he'd have some sorry excuses for Spurs.
You know? I was going to say, do you think that's why he didn't want to come on this week? Because he's like, I can't take it. I'm not going to be able to go through that.
Honestly, yes, I think that's why. Because he just couldn't handle. Spurs are back to being Spurs, you know. They're not a top six side. They never have been, never will be.
We're calling him out here live.
when Ridge isn't here, I'll say all this.
Yeah, on this live episode of the landmark edition of the Kyle Slater Variety episode. Hour. The 500th episode, and it's crazy because we've only been around for a few months, but also it makes sense because in the background you hear the fire horn or whatever that's called, I don't know, but that was a staple early on in the podcast, was that and my dogs barking. But we've since gained some professionalism here, and by that I mean I haven't changed anything. We've just had good luck when recording the podcast. So,
and that's all professionalism is, really. It's just good luck.
It's just a little bit of luck, that's all you need. So is that everything that's happened in the world of English soccer here?
I think so. Like, Crystal Palace, who was sitting seventh at the table, drew with Watford, who has a new manager there. Watford is 20th, so last place at the table.
I was going to say, they're very bad, aren't they?
They are poor. They are terrible. One of the worst teams.
Poor form.
Poor form. Late. Oh, my God. That was terrible. But, you know. Yeah, they're just horrendous. They're a terrible team. A lot of times when a team gets a new manager, we've seen in football occasionally, they'll perform better than they have been. And right. same with Everton on Saturday, they hired a new manager. I guess he's a part of the club. He has history with the club, and they beat Chelsea 3-1, surprisingly, in like convincing fashion as well. So a lot of new managers in the Premier League. Some interesting results, but yeah, I think that the biggest two results, honestly, were Manchester United winning 2-1 against Spurs and against Manchester City.
So here is the new goal of this podcast: the Bills won't credential Billswire. They
can
just
Manchester United credential us.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. Is we'll just talk about soccer so much that at some point Tottenham's going to credential us or Manchester United's going to credential us. That would be the funniest thing in the world.
Right. We'll just Skype in.
That would be pressers. So funny. The Bills don't deem us worthy of credentials, but they're like, oh, yeah, we'll give them to you. But the Bills don't credential blogs. They just don't do it.
I can't believe we're considered a blog. I just think that's...
I mean, it is a blog, but also the word blog kind of has a negative connotation to it. Like, you think a blog and you're like, oh, a guy's in his basement just posting and writing whatever he wants. It's like, no, Bill's Wire and the Wire sites as a whole are run as though they're at, like, actual publications because they are. We do have legitimate content and stuff, but also... It's just ridiculous. I know how Bills Wire is viewed inside the PR department. When you write something I'm going to have to edit this out because I'm just ranting at this point. But when Bills Wire writes something positive, it's like, oh, you know, we'll pick that up. They've done that before on Bills Today. When Bills Wire have written something positive about the Bills, they've acknowledged it. They don't say Bills Wire, though. They'll say USA Today.
It's okay. That's how they get around it.
They're like, oh, there's a little more legitimacy there. But then otherwise, it's just like, well, it's a smart PR strategy, I guess. Don't credential us. So when we do say something positive, it's like USA Today said this. And then if we say something negative, they didn't show us any. Yeah, they didn't give us any legitimacy because we don't. They don't credential us.
I mean, I don't think. Yeah, we're not going to be mentioned in Bill's PR a lot this week, I think, because I don't think anyone had a lot of positive things to say after the Bills' performance against the Ravens, at least on the offensive side, because, oh God, it was putrid.
It wasn't great. It was not great. We'll get into that, yeah. But.
Let's talk about the Bills offense for about 5 minutes, and then, you know, let's save that for the end.
That's the beauty of this podcast, is, like, I just punt Bills conversations until the second half. I'm sure everyone just skips to that, but then they know at this point, just like, okay, they're going to talk about nonsense for 20 minutes. But, hey, there's other Bills podcasts if you want the in-depth all 22, you know, conversations or whatever. But, hey... You don't get this banter anywhere else, that's do right. you? That's Where else right. do you get Premier Rich?
Nowhere, only here.
Where else do you get Premier Rich hosted by McKenna?
Exactly.
You only get it here. So yeah, the Bills, they kind of sucked yesterday, but I had a great day. I had just one of those days where I think back on things that happened and I'm like, huh, that's that was dumb, but... So here's my story. Here's my lore for this week. It was Saturday, and my friend and I, we had planned to go tailgating anyway. And then he texted me. It was actually Sunday morning at like 2 a.m. And he said, "Is that the fire horn going off again?" It is in the background. I don't know if you can hear it, but I can hear it through my headphones, and it's driving me bonkers. Anyway. So my friend texted me at like 2 a.m. on Sunday and was like, "Hey, I got the tickets and I also have this place to tailgate. It has a wrestling ring." And I was like, "Dude, I'm sold. I'm there. You say wrestling ring, I'm there." So we got dropped off at like 10 at the Big Tree because that's where this tailgate was supposed to be. So we walk around just looking for this wrestling ring, and we're searching for like a half an hour, and we hit up like 4 or 5 different tailgates just looking for this place. And Bill's tailgates, they're fine. They're fine. So then at some point, as we're passing, or as we're looking through for this wrestling ring, we pass a Baltimore tailgate. And I kid you not, it was the best tailgate I've ever been to. They were just... 97 Rock was handing out signs that said, "Pluck the Ravens."
Oh yeah.
Drunk me thought this was the funniest thing in the world. Pluck the Ravens. It was a great bit. Anytime I saw a Ravens fan, I would hold up the sign and go, "Pluck the Ravens, pluck the Ravens." Then I would go up to him and say, "Lamar Jackson's actually pretty good." But like, I didn't want to fight, you know, had to show him a little bit of love. So then we eventually go back, or no, we eventually find this Baltimore tailgate. We go in there and we're about to just, you know, do "Pluck the Ravens," hold up our signs. They steal the sign from my friend and stomp on it. Oof. And I was like, okay, we're here now. So then we just like dance with these Baltimore fans. Seriously, an hour and a half before the game. That's how we spent our last hour and a half, was just going to this Baltimore tailgate and dancing. There were a few other Bills fans there, and we were all just like, this is great. Like, I don't like the Ravens. I hope the Bills win, but this is a great time. They know how to party here. Baltimore knows what they're doing. There was a girl in a white fur coat. So if any Bills fans were there and you saw a girl in a white fur coat, a Baltimore fan, you know where our tailgate was or where we went to party. So there was a girl in a white fur coat who, as we were leaving, handed me and my friend and I Heineken's.
Nice. And then classy, classy.
It was a classy beer, class act by this Baltimore fan. And we had to walk back to the person who gave my friend's tickets car to do something. I don't even know what she had to do, but, so we're walking back to this car. We pass these other people and they're yelling at me. They're like, "You're going the wrong way." And I was like, "Hey, go Bills." This guy's face, it's just like he had a revelation, just like, "Oh yeah, go Bills." So then he hands me a Busch Light. Oh, he just God. Had an extra Busch Light, I guess. He's like, "Yeah, this guy, he deserves a Busch Light." So at this point I have an unopened Heineken and a Busch Light. So I open the Busch Light and we're walking. So then we pass another tailgate and I go up to this car where these people are tailgating and I was like, "Hey, do you have a bottle opener?" And he's like, "No, but you look like you could use a beer." And I was like, I could use a beer. So then I have a Heineken, a Busch Light, and a Bud Light.
Oh, what a time to be alive.
It was a great time. So I think that's my biggest takeaway from this, from the tailgating, is Bills fans, their tailgates are more of a group effort. It's a team effort. Let's get everyone drunk. Let's have a good time. Whereas the Baltimore tailgate is just like, this is a party. You're here. We're dancing. I don't care what you're wearing. I don't care who you support. We're going to dance and we're going to Facebook Live the whole thing. I don't know where to look, but I must have shown up on about 5 Facebook Lives. Every phone I looked at, somebody was Facebook Living. I was like, is this a thing in Baltimore? Is everyone using Facebook Live?
Why? That's a very odd... I feel like that's a boomer thing to do, Facebook Live. I've never seen any of my friends Facebook Live, let alone, like, what?
Instagram Live is one thing. Instagram Live's kind of weird, but it's like, okay. But Facebook Live?
No.
It's like, you're going...
Only cops use Facebook Live. I'm not about that.
But it was just... It was so much fun. We were doing, we danced with a bunch of people. At one point, we all lined up and just kind of swayed back and forth.
Okay.
And just yelled left to right. And I don't even know what song was on, but it was just... It was a great time. If Baltimore ever plays here again, I am damn well going to that tailgate and just finding Baltimore fans, because that's going to be a great time. But, So then I got into the game in, like, the second quarter. I watched very little football yesterday. and honestly, sitting down to watch the football game was the worst part of my day, just because it wasn't a great game, as we'll get into later. But, so we sat down for the second quarter, and then it took me the entirety of halftime to get up, get in line for the bathroom, and then go to the bathroom. And by the time I was out of the bathroom, kickoff was starting in the second half. And then I found my friend, who his task was to get beer during halftime. My task was to pee, his was to get beer. And he's like, yeah, I want to go. And I was like, what? We've been here for a quarter. And he's like, beer's $14. I cannot, in good faith, buy a $14 beer. I can't buy 2 beers for $28. I'm just not going to do it. And I was like, no, you're right.
Yeah, that's fair. You know, when you're right,
very
you're right.
Fair. So we left and we walked to Beer Garden, which is in the corner of the Bills parking lot, the main one. So we go there. We saw somebody from high school who then bought us Huggy Bombs.
What are those?
Oh, you've never had a Huggy Bomb?
No.
Oh, it's like Huggies, the children's drink that comes in the plastic barrel.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they pour a little of that out and just fill it back up with vodka. It's not great.
Oh, my God.
But here's the thing. If someone hands me alcohol, I'm drinking.
Same.
I don't pay for it.
Exactly.
That's what I even said that at some point. The person from high school is like, do you want to do a shot? And I was like, as long as I'm not paying for it, I'll do whatever you want.
If it's free, it's for me. That's the way yeah, I live.
Exactly. That's a good motto. If it's free, it's for me. Going further into that, we were outside watching the game, and this person comes and hands my friend chicken wings, which we don't know who ordered them, but she just hands him chicken wings and is like, here, hold these. So then he does, and then he comes up to me, he's like, we got to get out of here. So we just take off with these chicken wings. We don't know who ordered them.
Oh my God.
It was a great time. It was just...
I think the biggest highlight, though, from that entire event, from my perspective, was your picture with... the late Ralph Wilson Jr.
Yep, I met Ralph Wilson. He was class act, as I wrote in my tweet. Just a real great guy. Didn't really say much, just not very talkative, but he did take a picture of me, so I appreciated that. I fell asleep at like 8 o'clock yesterday, and I woke up at midnight, and I checked Twitter to see that Nick Wotan had tweeted at me and said neckbeard.
Yeah,
was like, you piece of shit.
You just, son of a...
Like, you can trash talk me however you want. You can say whatever you want to me. But if you say I have a neck beard, which I literally shave my neck at least twice a week as to not have a neck beard, and he says neck beard, I'm like, you little, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are going into my Twitter mentions and saying neck beard?
Ugh. I saw that. I saw that. I was ready to, like, bust in, but I was like, nah, this has to be between the two of you. Like, I shouldn't get involved, like, you know.
I'm staying out of that one.
When third parties get involved, things get out of hand, but, you know.
And then he...
he has the audacity, though, to bring it back up in audacity. Slack today.
Yeah, I thought I... He never replied to my tweet. I said, explicitly not a neckbeard, you chum. For drunk Kyle, who woke up and was half drunk, half asleep at 12:30, chum was the funniest insult I could come up with. So when I called him a chum, I was like, well...
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Guess who just won that fight? It was me. And then, yeah, this morning in Slack, what does he say? Now I have to find the message.
Something about you and neckbeard, that's all, really.
I was just, here, there. He said, I said, Josh got killed. Wouldn't be surprised to hear that he's dead, because Josh Allen was sacked many times yesterday and just hit in general. And then Nick said, you and him have similar neckbeards. And I said, fuck off. Now I have to bleep
Josh Allen does have a neck beard, though. Like, he cannot grow facial hair that well, and it's very funny.
He really can. It is funny. But he's 20. How old is he? Is he 23?
23, yeah. Not 20 years older than me.
I just think facial hair has a little bit of sophistication. Like, I don't think my facial hair is great. It's not really at all, but I don't have a neck beard. I will not stand for that slander. You want a neck beard, look at Andrew Luck. He doesn't even hide it. It goes all the way.
That's true.
I'm, like, actively avoiding a neck beard. And just to put work in, to put in the time and the effort to avoid that, and to just be put on blast like that, it's really disappointing. I thought Nick and I were boys, you know?
Not anymore. That's why he's canceled. Another reason why he's canceled. Like,
It's just, you hate to see it. It's really disappointing that this has happened. But, so yeah, another reason why I've declared war on Bill's Wire.
That's our boss, technically. So, like, I can't believe he'd say something like that to, you know, his subordinates. It's just, he's a real Michael Scott, you know?
This is workplace abuse, is it not? HR, I would be contacting HR.
Immediately. I'd you have to have witnesses and stuff. I'd be your witness. It's fine.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's on Twitter. I just, whatever.
What a time.
It's just, it's disappointing. Anyway, speaking of disappointing, the Buffalo Bills 24-17 loss to the Baltimore Ravens. Hold on, I have another frog in my throat.
Well, before, as you get the frog out of your throat, talking about beards, I am 22 years old, and I have a white patch in my beard.
Oof.
Yeah, that's great. It's like right on my chin. So it, like, when it was growing in, I was like, why do I have this bald spot? Like, this doesn't happen. Like, when my facial hair grows in relatively, like, decently, but it gets a little patchy at places. But I was like, why do I have this bald spot? Like, why is that just a patch? And then I look closely, and it's like a patch of blonde. And I was like, oh, that's never happened to me before. But as it grows out more, it's just like Snow White. I was like, oh my God. I'm 22.
You're getting old, dude.
I'm going to have like a full gray beard in like 2 years, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be cool, but it would just be like, oh, God. It sort of makes sense because I have brown hair, like, you know, head hair, but when my beard grows in, it's pretty much all red. So.
Viking blood.
I think so.
That's what that means. Well, it means your ancestors were Vikings. I've been told.
You'll love to see it. But, yeah, that just, like, I don't know how it happened. It's noticeable now, too. Like, the more it grows out, the whiter it gets. So, just interesting beard conversations going on.
Yeah, so we're both having bad beard days. We're not having great beard times over here.
Not, no.
I did, probably the most embarrassing thing of my life just a few weeks ago. And I'm ashamed to talk about it, but yet I'm going to talk about it. I don't want to say my beard is full, but there's facial hair. It's mostly sideburns, and then it's not a neck beard, but I do have hair on my neck. As I said, I actively shave it. I do the two fingers above the Adam's apple thing, you know, that's the cutoff for a nice beard or whatever. But I don't have anything on my upper lip or my chin. I do have a little bit on my chin, but my upper lip hair, my mustache game, very weak. So then I was noticing that I was growing hair on my mustache area, but it wasn't brown. It wasn't defined. So I bought Just for Men to dye my upper lip, which is a fairly normal thing to do, I think, for 20 whatever early 20s guys who want a more defined beard. So then I dyed my upper lip, and it was just, it just basically dyed my skin. I had a lot fewer mustache hairs than I thought I did. So it took a few days just to not look like I had drank a whole bunch of chocolate milk.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't great for a few days there, but.
That's like up there with your beard oil story. Like,
Oh yeah. On the Lost episode.
Oh, dude, that's the Lost episode.
I still do use beard oil, but mainly at this point because it smells good. I've been criticized for my neck beard by Nick Wotan. I've also been complimented on my hygiene. So I have a very detailed hygiene regimen. But I smell good, I think. So hey,
there you go.
that's what I say in life. If there's one thing you got to do, it's smell good. Live by that motto. Just like if it's free, it's for me. I think half an hour deep, I think it's time to get into Bills talk again. We always talk about nonsense on this show, but I think this is the most nonsense we've ever talked about.
Yeah, because I think, like, Rich sort of likes to keep us on track. Like, he sets up, like, segues and stuff.
He does, and then I never use them, but he tries.
Chuck them.
Yeah, it's appreciated, Rich, but, you know, he's the adult. He's the Zoomer. No, he's the Boomer of the room. He realizes there's a start and an end point, and you need to get from point A to point B.
No.
Whereas we're like, okay, we'll get from point A to point B, but there will be pit stops along the way, like a 10-minute beard conversation.
You know, there's plenty of pit stops.
I am no authority to be talking about beards, yet we just, for 10 or 15 minutes, talked about
it. Neither do I. Like, I grow a really good goatee, and then my cheeks, it grows in. It's growing in, like, better and better as I've gotten older. Obviously, that makes a lot of sense. And then I have some, like I don't really have a neck beard because it grows in on my cheeks and my sideburns. But it's there, and it's just, like, it never grows in the way I want it to. Maybe I should get some beard oil. Maybe that'll help because, like, I think it just needs a little bit of stimulus, and that'll be really good.
We would have the ultimate beard. If we combine beards,
that's true.
Because I have the full cheeks. I like, if I just shaved the neck area and my chin, I would have gnarly sideburns. I'd look like Elvis in his prime.
Nice.
But I just don't want that, because who just wants good sideburns?
No one. Only if you're from, like, the 1840s or Elvis. Like, that's it.
Exactly. If that ever comes back, if for some reason we as a society just say, actually, sideburns are cool again, I'll be killing it. But until then, I'm just sad. Anyway, Buffalo Bills here. Third time's the charm on this transition. Buffalo Bills lose 24-17 to the Baltimore Ravens in what was not a great game. I rewatched it this morning, and by rewatch, I mean watch for the first time because I really don't know what was going on yesterday. But, it was just not a great game. I think the defense, I don't want to say the defense stood on its head because there were a few plays where, like, the Hayden Hurst, whatever, 61-yard touchdown. But also, there's a point where you just have to say that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. The defense, you cannot expect your defense to just each and every week play lights out and hold your opponent to 10 or less points. You just cannot do that. And going into this game, especially against Lamar Jackson, the front runner, and I think really the only person at this point who probably has a realistic case for MVP.
Russell Wilson, maybe.
You could say Russell Wilson, but they got spanked yesterday by LA. So I think at this point Lamar Jackson's kind of the front runner for MVP. He has been for a long time, but I think he's probably the person who's going to win it at this point. Yeah. But going into this game, I think if you would have told a Bills fan, you're going to hold Lamar Jackson to 145 passing yards, 40 rushing yards, and they're going to score 24 points, Bills fans would have felt pretty good about this game. Mm-hmm. But because the defense as a whole did limit Lamar Jackson, I think this was probably, if not his worst statistical game of the season, definitely one of his worst statistical games of the season. He really couldn't get anything going on the ground. He had a few big plays. His rushing long of the day was 16, which is, it's a good long, but also 40 yards on 11 carries. A lot of options, a lot of keepers. But there's that offense is designed, it's really designed to get Lamar Jackson going with his legs and get the running game going. And they only picked up 118 rushing yards. So the Bills stopped the strong point of their offense, limited Lamar Jackson to 145 passing yards. That is a day where they limited Lamar Jackson. I don't want to say they shut him down, but they made him not as big of a factor as he could have been. And I think this is just, it magnifies the offensive problems more. Because, like, week four against New England? It was kind of the same story. Yeah. I think the defense played better that game against New England, but it was the same story where it was, okay, the defense stood on its head and the offense couldn't do anything. In this game, it's the same storyline. Defense stood on its head, made the, reigning MVP, but the presumptive MVP not probably have his worst game of the year. You find a way to do what other teams haven't been able to do and stop him or make him not as big of a factor as he could have been, and yet your offense just can't do anything. Josh Allen follows up probably his best career game, or I think undisputably his best career game, with one of his worst.
That was awful.
17 for 39.
It's a 43% completion percentage.
That's not great. We'll get into that. I wanna stick on the defense a little bit here. I'll throw to you. What did you think of this defensive performance?
Yeah, I think I do the grades every week, and my biggest issue was the secondary. I think they did give up that big play, and it was busted coverage by Jordan Poyer. Like, you, when they broke it down after the score, it's like, oh yeah, he probably shouldn't have. He should have gone with Hayden Hurst, the guy who scored, and. The zone that they played was, I think, a little too soft, because a lot of the times, like, Willie Snead was open on that on the third touchdown. Like, he wasn't even touched. They're probably 10 yards out, not even touched going into the end zone. Obviously, you have to be worried about Lamar Jackson, but still, you know, some busted coverage is really hurt Buffalo. But yeah, the fact that they just really, like, stopped one of the most potent rushing attacks that the NFL, quite frankly, has ever seen. Like, they're on pace to have one of the best. This Baltimore Ravens team is, like, on pace to have one of the best rushing performances in NFL history. Like, as a team, like, it's not even just Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he gets a lot of praise because he just makes so many people miss. He has such great highlights, and I think he will be this season's MVP. Like, even Mark Ingram is having a renaissance sort of year, you know, holding him to just 50 yards, no scores or anything. The linebackers and the defensive line, they played just fundamental sound football, which is what you need to do to be, like, any sort of option team. And I'm not too surprised that the Bills defense played this well, because they've shown before in the past that they could, but I'm just surprised that, you know, they held Lamar Jackson to 40 yards, because everyone was like, all right, yeah, Lamar Jackson's going to break Michael Vick's record for, what, 1,067 rushing yards or something?
Yeah, something like that.
He was supposed to break it this week, but they did an excellent job of just keeping everything in front of them, you know, that buzzword, like, maintaining the edge or whatever. Just solid performance throughout. Like, Tremaine Edmonds had probably one of his best games of the season. And I wrote it in my matchups piece that he is one of the few, like, he's like almost a perfect foil for Lamar Jackson, because he, as a linebacker, he's exceptionally fast. He's exceptionally tall and exceptionally strong. And Lamar Jackson got the better of him on one play where he just sort of, he did Lamar Jackson things. But yeah, this Bills defense is getting a lot of national praise, as they should be, because they are putting in, like, performance after performance, week after week. Like, we talked about it last week with Dak Prescott. Like, he had 335 passing yards or whatever, but completely hollow. Not a poor game from Lamar Jackson, because he was efficient throwing the ball, but he didn't have any big highlights. He had the one on Matt Milano where he just broke the dude's ankles.
I was going to say that, yeah.
That was you feel bad for
Matt
Milano.
That was a Lamar Jackson play.
Yeah, you feel bad for Matt Milano, because he, like, he read the play very well, but he just got broken. But just, yeah, you cannot expect the Bills defense to can like just hold Lamar Jackson to under what, 17 points, 15 points, whatever they were at that point. But it's just unfortunate that Brian Daboll, Josh Allen, this whole offense couldn't get it together, because if they did, they easily would have won the game, I think, because the Bills defense was so stout and so just playing smart football that it's unfortunate that they didn't get the victory.
This game, I think, is the perfect probably example or the prime reason of why I think Baltimore is probably gonna win the Super Bowl this year. They're probably my Super Bowl pick at this point, because on a day where they face an elite defense, in a game where the defense really shuts down the bread and butter of their offense, Mark Ingram averages 3.3 yards of I can't even talk. Mark Ingram averages 3.3 yards a carry. Lamar Jackson averages 3.6 yards a carry. It's not a great rushing game. The Bills defense shut them down. In a game where Lamar Jackson only throws for 145 yards, so he was efficient, but he wasn't a world beater throwing the ball. So Lamar Jackson didn't really do much in this game. It's not a game that they'll point back to and say that's the game where he secured the MVP award. But they're probably my Super Bowl pick, because in a game where the offense can't really do anything, in a game where they play an elite defense and are shut down throughout the majority of the game, they still put up 24 points, which is probably enough to win you a lot of football games, especially when your defense is playing strong. Baltimore's defense is very underrated. Baltimore's had a good defense for a long time, and this is a very strong unit. So in a game where even your offense, you're probably one of the best offenses in the league, or like as you said, the rushing attack is bordering historic levels. And they have a very good receiving core as well. I think Mark Andrews is probably a top five tight end in the league. So just in a game where the offense isn't able to really get anything going, they don't really establish the run. They really don't do anything big through the air, because how many of 61 of Lamar Jackson's 145 yards came off of that one play to Hayden Hurst. So just in a game where their offense isn't able to do much, they're still able to put up 24. And then with that defense, they're probably going to be able to stop teams from scoring 24. So I don't see a team at this point who's better than the Ravens. We saw yesterday in New England, New England lost to Kansas City. And here's the thing about New England. I'm not surprised when they lose to these good teams. And I just don't understand why the national media, when New England loses to Baltimore and Houston and Kansas City, why they're like, oh, New England's falling off. It's like, you guys are so short-sighted to the point where you cannot think this. You realistically cannot think this is true. This happens every year. New England will drop games to playoff teams because they show nothing in those games. Right. They know that their opponents are going to come out and show everything and just try to beat them that game, so they're the talk of the week because they're like, oh, we beat New England. New England shows nothing in those games because they know they'll see him in the playoffs on the road to the Super Bowl for the 50th time.
Exactly.
New England shows nothing in those games. They play with vanilla playbooks so that they get a feel for what the other team does, and then when they play them when it matters, when they play them in the playoffs, that's when they'll play their full playbook and they'll just kill them, and everyone will be like, oh, I thought New England was bad. I thought they were actually going to lose that game. It's like, no, this happens every year. Yeah. Why are we surprised each and every year? But whatever, isn't a New England podcast.
I think I agree, because like they do it every year. Like even like they do it against the Bills occasionally when the Bills are decent. The Bills will play a tough game against New England, and like the first time they play, like, oh, Bills actually, next time when they see them, they're definitely, you know, it's gonna be really close. Buffalo might pull off the upset, and then it's like a 42-7 blowout because Bill Belichick is smarter than every other coach in the NFL.
Yep.
Like, he is probably the greatest football coach we have ever seen or might ever see, because he is so smart. And the national media just, it's very short-sighted. They just, like, everyone wants to get attention and clicks and views. But I think this isn't New England's year, because I do think Tom Brady really is not as good as he once was.
Oh, he has regressed. And now...
He's like 57 years old.
Right. I mean, rightfully so, he's regressed. If I'm still... Yeah, I don't even know where I'm going with that point, so I won't say it. Right. But just, like, in general, just... Like, I watch the Pat McAfee show all the time. That's probably my favorite national media show. But even he, like, he's as wishy-washy as they come. It's just like, they've been talking trash about Mitchell Trubisky all year because he sucks. He has a good game against Dallas, and they upload a video. Is Mitchell Trubisky good again? No. It's like, come on, stop being so reactionary. This isn't a reactionary thing. And, like, with Josh, and I think also a part of it is because they do have to cover the whole league, these national analysts. Right. And just, like... We've been watching Josh Allen all year. We've known that he's improved, right, that he's a better quarterback than he was last year. And just nobody really cares about that. Then he does it on Thanksgiving, and it's just like, oh, all of a sudden he's good now.
Josh Allen is the greatest quarterback Buffalo has ever seen.
It's like these things don't happen overnight. There's a story leading up to it, but whatever. This isn't a national podcast. This is a Buffalo Bills podcast. And I don't even know how we got to this conversation. Oh, because I ranted about New England. Honestly, Buffalo will I think they'll beat Pittsburgh next week, so they'll probably be 10-4 going into that game against New England. They'll probably have a, if not clinch, they'll have a lock on that wild card spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if they beat New England, if New England shows nothing against Buffalo and they're just like, sure, take this win. Or no, that'll be a division matchup. The division could be on the line there.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I don't know. I think, well, the Patriots have, I think, Cincinnati next week. So...
They're not going to lay down when they could win the division.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think there's like this article that I saw, or tweet I saw this morning. It's like the Patriots could miss the playoffs if, and like, you know, a thousand, they need to lose out and every team in the AFC needs to essentially win out.
Yeah, truly.
So it's not gonna happen, but even
so, they'll be what, they'll be 11-3 that game, probably.
And then they have the Jets. So who else do the Bills play? It's just the Jets. Bills
play, they have Steelers, Patriots, Jets remaining.
Oh, they could, yeah, the Bills could honestly be what, 12-4 then going into the playoffs?
Like, yeah, they would be 12-4. If the Bills are 10-3, or what, they'd be 10-4. If the Bills are 10-4 entering that game with New England, I don't think they'll play with a vanilla playbook, but I don't think they're going to show everything because they could realistically meet the Bills in the playoffs at some point. So they'll just, they won't show anything or they won't show much. But I think that, is that good for the defense talk? Did we do everything?
Ed Oliver had a pretty good game.
I thought the front seven as a whole played well.
Yeah.
As you said, Tremaine Edmonds played a great game. I thought Matt Milano would be a good matchup for, Lamar Jackson, just giving, they're similar heights.
Right.
I don't want to say similar bodies, but similar heights. And Matt Milano is a very athletic linebacker. And then you just see the play where Lamar Jackson broke his ankles.
He still had a good game, though. He had, like, I think 7 tackles, and he was at the line of scrimmage a lot. And he had a good game. It's just unfortunate that he got busted.
that was so funny. And then, when I was at the game yesterday, there was a Ravens fan yelling, like, well, Lamar Jackson hasn't met a defender who he hasn't been able to beat or whoever. And I was just like, he hasn't played Tremaine Edmonds. And then I laughed at myself. But but Tremaine Edmonds did have a good game. He had an interception. I thought he played just the front seven as a whole, as I said. Limiting that team, who their bread and butter is their rushing attack, and the front seven as a whole largely stopping that and largely stopping their offense as a whole. It just sucks that the offense couldn't do anything about it. Couldn't do anything to counteract it. So we'll get into the offense now. It was not a great game. Probably their worst in a few weeks. We've been relatively complimentary of the offense in recent weeks. I think they have showed signs. Josh Allen has played very well. Probably one of the better quarterbacks in the league throughout the last month or so. Been limiting the turnovers and has just been putting on shows each and every week. Whereas this week, didn't put on much of a show. 17 of 39 passing for 146 yards. That's not good. That's not good at all.
He did have the touchdown, which... It was, you know, like, what else can you say about his performance outside that it was just, like,
not
bad?
Good.
Like, I don't want to say it was horrendous or abysmal or just garbage, because it was
uninspired.
It was uninspired. Like, his first half was abysmal. Like, he couldn't get, like, he wasn't hitting, obviously he wasn't hitting like the deep ball, because he hasn't done that at all this season. But even then, like, even the shorter outs he was missing on, and it's just like, it was so just like bad. Like,
yeah.
And part of it, like, you can fault Josh Allen, because it's like he was just missing some open receivers, and if he hit John Brown, like, I think it was the first series of the game, probably John Brown would have walked in for a touchdown, because he had created a lot of separation from his defender. But he just misses him by, you know, 10 yards.
Yeah.
And then he did the same thing to Robert Foster in, I think, the second or third quarter, where Robert Foster was, he had 5 yards from his defender, but it was Josh Allen threw it into to the sideline.
Yeah, he just can't hit the deep ball anymore. And I think that I'm not like a film analyst. I'm not a quarterback guru. I'm no Jordan Palmer. But to me, it looks like when he throws the deep ball, his body is like lateral. It looks like he's kind of, instead of driving his foot down and just throwing it like a quarterback, like an actual throw, he kind of looks like he's just kind of standing there. And it's like an uncle on Thanksgiving.
Oh, just, yeah.
Just, he's Uncle Rico. Just throwing it with all of his upper body. It's like, no. The 99% of the time, the reason why a quarterback fails in the NFL is because of footwork. You need good footwork. Mm-hmm. Where you point your front foot is where the ball is going to go. And if you look at his deep balls, the footwork isn't great. On the little stuff, on the underneath stuff, his footwork's good. His footwork is much improved. But on the deep balls, it seriously just looks like he's standing with like a lateral base. Like, it's just all upper body. Yeah, he's just chucking it downfield. It's like, somebody needs to get a hold of him and be like, no, you know how like you point your, you know, your footwork on those underneath routes? Do that on the other stuff too. And the ball will go where it needs to go. But I don't want to say this is just a Josh Allen game. Granted, the missed deep balls were abysmal.
There were a couple drops, which were, all of them were very untimely. Like, the one time he did actually hit, like, sort of a deep ball was to Cole Beasley. And it just went right through Cole Beasley's hands.
Yep, Cole dropped it. Dawson Knox had an awful drop.
So many this season. It's frustrating.
Yeah, cause I think I read a stat where he has, like, 10 drops, which is the most in the NFL. Which, I mean, that was his thing, is that he was a freak athlete, that if the Bills just got something out of him, you know, he only had 18 catches at Ole Miss throughout his entire career, but if the Bills do something with him, he could be good. It's like, well, maybe that's why he only had 18 catches, because he dropped everything else. But just...
all of his drops have come where he really, all he had to do was make one more play, and then he probably would have been in for a touchdown. Like, I can't really remember what the defense was looking like on this drop, but... against the Ravens, but it was on third down. Josh Allen made a heck of a throw across his body, like the worst throw you should make as a quarterback. But it was on the money, and Dawson Knox just dropped it, and it hit him right in the hands, and then he just... And it's unfortunate, because he is a great athlete, Dawson Knox. Like, he's great with the ball, and it's just you just want to bang your head against like a wall or something or a table. And you're just like, catch the ball. Like, you're paid to catch the ball. Like, come on, man.
And it's the same issue every time with Dawson Knox. He takes his eyes off the ball too quickly. Right. It's he'll get it. He'll have hands on it. Then he'll look upfield. Then he'll look back down and be like, oh, I forgot the football. Oh no. That's seriously all it is. It's just, it's coaching. Yeah. Just someone tell him, secure the ball. Right. I'm sure they do tell him, and I'm sure it's all mental with him, but it just, if you're an NFL player and you have 10 drops and it's the same issue every single time, I think that kind of shows you're uncoachable. I don't want to say Dawson Knox is uncoachable, but that's kind of what I'm saying. If you lead the NFL in drops and it's the same issue every time, what's the constant there? It's you. But it just, I think it was a total team effort in this bad offensive performance, or total group effort, if you will. The offensive line at times did nothing. Like, there were times when Josh Allen had no pocket. Just seriously, the ball would be snapped, and seconds later, he'd be getting hit blindside.
And they would just, even when they sent, like, a four-man rush, like, still, the offensive line can do anything at all to stop them. And it's, it was so bad. Like, truly one of the worst performances that the offensive line has had this season. And they've had a couple, like, poor games.
Iffy, yeah.
Yeah, like, this performance was reminiscent of last season, where it was just... And that's probably what Josh Allen was thinking. He's like, what? Like, what do I got to do? Like, do I really just need to always be rolling out and scrambling to just have any time on the ball? And that's what he was doing at the end of the game. Like, he just got... He was in the shotgun, and then once he got the ball, he just rolled out to his left or right just so he wouldn't get... obliterated.
Yeah, but like also the offensive line, it wasn't a great game. They did, like I said, have a lot of plays where just they couldn't establish a pocket. There was pressure there like that mm-hmm. within an instant. But then there were also plays where they did form a pocket, or it was all they did their job, and Josh Allen just made a bad decision. Like, the pocket would be there. I remember there was a play, I think it was in the second or third quarter, where the pocket was there. The line had cleared enough space where Josh could have stepped up and thrown the ball, but instead he rolled out. And there were also plays where just they gave him 3 or 4 seconds or 5 seconds to find somebody, and he just didn't. Where Josh would just stand there, and just the pressure would get to him because he took too long. And it was just, like I said, it wasn't a great offensive performance. The offensive line, it wasn't a great day. I would say it was a bad day, but they also had their moments where Josh would get sacked or get hit or just do an incompletion because of his own doing, because he would roll out or he just wouldn't take advantage of the time the line created for him. And I also think receiver wise, I don't think Josh Allen's receivers did a lot to help him today. I don't think they created a lot of separation.
Yeah.
Just watching the game, there were plays where there were receivers like semi open, but there was a defender like right there. So even if Josh would have fired the ball in there, it probably would have gotten broken up, maybe intercepted, or at absolute best, you're picking up like 4 yards. So it's just like, at that point, I don't understand, or I can understand why Josh Allen wouldn't go there, because he's like, we need points. I'm not just going to throw it to you so you can catch the ball and get tackled. I'm gonna try to move the ball down the field here. So that's how you get the stat line of 7 of 39 for 146 yards. And then that's just, I think that's poor play calling and probably just poor game management in general.
Like, we have to sort of talk about Brian Daboll. Like, Josh Allen was struggling throughout the entire game, maybe in the third quarter and like the first half of the first half, and then the end of the fourth quarter. That's when he was looking pretty decent, looking sort of like the Josh Allen of the last couple weeks and kind of all season, you know, hitting the quick routes, you know, making plays. But if you're Brian Daboll and you're watching Josh Allen struggle so much and you don't utilize Devin Singletary like really at all throughout the game, I think, I don't know off the top of my head, I think he had maybe 12 carries, 13 carries.
He had 17 carries, 89 yards.
17 carries, 89. Like, just, like, we've said this before, Devin Singletary's having, like, that's a pretty good game against.
That's a great game. Yeah. Devin Singletary had a great game.
And he was the only reason the Bills scored, really, on their only touchdown drive, because he was just creating chunk plays. The offensive line, you know, Strungde like had some couple good plays in a row where they're creating holes for him, and like if you're Brian Daboll, like you're seeing that, and you're seeing that Josh Allen is struggling. Obviously, you just can't abandon the passing game because that's dumb. Like, but it just, why throw it on first down constantly? Like, maybe give the ball to Devin Singletary. He'll probably pick you up 3 to 4 yards, which makes it, you know, second and third down way more manageable. And it's just, and on Sunday against the Steelers, next Sunday, I guarantee you that Devin Singletary will probably have 25 carries, you know, and he'll have a touchdown. He'll look really, really good. But then against the Patriots, he'll only touch the ball 10 times because
that's just what happens.
Because that's what Brian Daboll does. Like, he's very reactionary. Like, on Twitter today, like, I haven't checked Bill's Twitter today because I'm saving myself from that. But I bet you there's a lot of tweets saying, why didn't Devin Singletary get the ball more? All that. And Daboll will see it, and the Bills will see it, and they'll be like, all right, we're really going to – he's going to have the first handoff, second handoff, third handoff, you know, and it's just going to be – it's so frustrating. Like, I like to give coaches time, And maybe right. the reason I have gray in my beard is because Brian Daboll just stresses me out. Like, just thinking about, like, him as a whole. But, like, if the Bills fired Brian Daboll this offseason, I wouldn't be too worried because there are better offensive minds out there in the NFL and in college that would – there are offensive minds in college that are ready to make the jump to the NFL and would probably be willing to work with Josh Allen and the Bills, especially if they have, you know, a playoff season, which – I think they will because I think they'll beat the Steelers because the Steelers are, I think, a no bueno team.
That's rough. No bueno. Yeah. They have Duck Hodges.
Yikes. I think Juju's going to be back.
I think he's undefeated. He will be back. And they have the undefeated Duck Hodges. World champion Duck
Hodges. That's
Hall.
True. Is James Conner like done for the season or?
I have no clue. I just.
Their defense is very good. I mean, not good, very good. Depending on who you ask.
I think they're a solid team, but I do think the Bills are better.
Yeah, I think they'll make life very tough for Hodges and for the receivers because you have James Washington and Juju. Like, that's really – those are your two offensive threats if James Conner won't be playing. So they can take away Juju Smith-Schuster. They can take away James Conner because the Bills' defense is very good. So, and Duck Hodges – is a serviceable quarterback, but that's not he won't get the I don't think he'll get the job done against the Bills.
I don't think he will either, but I do want to talk about Devin Singletary a little bit because like I said, he had a great game when the ball, like I've said this before on this podcast, he is money with the ball in his mm-hmm. hands. He is money. So like, and he proves that. 89 yards on 17 attempts.
Yeah, 110 total and, yards, I believe.
Yeah, he had 6 receptions too. So I don't want to say there wasn't enough Devin Singletary in this offense because he had how many touches? What's 8 plus 6? 14? Is that 14?
I think it's 14.
He had 14 touches, so that is a lot of Devin Singletary. But also, when he's your... Or no. No, that doesn't make sense. 17 plus 6. There we go. Whatever it is.
23.
17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. He had 23 touches. So when you have 23, that's why I love this podcast. Half of it's just me doing equations on the fly. But he had 23 touches. So like, and 17 attempts. I think that's his third highest number of carries in a game this year. So, but just when a player has 23 touches and to say that's not enough touches, that's kind of ludicrous to say because 23 touches is a lot of touches. But also when he's your best player, your quarterback when he, is on that day is the best player, bad. You give him the ball. Right. And in the second half, they just totally abandoned the run, and I understand why. Or they didn't totally abandon the run, but for I think they did, for the most part, abandon the run. And just to see, just I don't even know what I'm trying to say.
It's just like, it's frustrating because we know that the Bills offense probably, if they were just marginally better, probably the Bills probably would have won. And that's most of their losses this season.
I was gonna say that's all of their losses this year, or not the Philly loss.
That was just bad all around. Like, yeah, every season has that. But like
New England, Cleveland, and this game, if the offense is competent, if the offense plays well, that's a win. And just with Devin Singletary again, just with
he's good.
110 yards. Just give him the ball. I understand you're down 2 scores in the second. In the second half, you want to throw the ball, you want to get the points back like that, but also you can't do that. You have to be methodical about it. And especially when your best player on that day is the running back, give him the ball. If he's the one who's proving that he'll pick up yards, why would you look to other sources for yards? That doesn't make any sense. And when you abandon, I think at any level of football, when you abandon the run, that's when you lose the football game. And just... I think that goes back to play calling and coaching. Just to not as I've said, I understand. I'm gonna make the same point again because I think it really sums up the whole game. When you need yards, you need points in the second half. Why would you turn away from the only player who on that day has proven that he will pick up yards? That doesn't make any sense. That's a bad decision. Again. It makes sense. You need the yards. You're going to try to pick them up in chunks and all at once. And you're going to try to pick up 30, 40, whatever. Or, you know, just move the ball through the air. But when you're doing that at the expense of the player who was the best that day, that doesn't make any sense. So just weird all around. Not a good offensive game. Not all on Josh Allen, but Josh Allen had his fair share of oof moments. The receivers had their fair share of oof moments. Dawson Knox, probably primarily a tight end, but you know, the pass catchers had their fair share of oofs between not really creating separation and drops. The offensive line had a lot of oofs. Devin Singletary, not too many oofs. Not really. But
he had one drop that was caught.
Yep. Yeah. And he like dribbled it and he tried to take off again. Huh. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
You know, played a little whistle, but come on.
So does that sum it up? Just the defense was very good. They shut down Baltimore, but it just ultimately wasn't enough to they couldn't overcome the lifeless offense.
Yeah, that's the story it's really been whenever the Bills lose this season. It's just
it was just another Bills game.
Just another Bills loss. Do you want to talk about college football now for a quick sec?
We could. The Utah lost.
That's the biggest thing. The Utes, we put so much stock in them, so much faith in them, and when the pressure's on, the big, you know, lights are shining down, they just falter. They capitulate.
Utah got embarrassed.
And it's now I think the playoffs are set. It's Oklahoma, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State. Like that's fine. You know,
those are good. LSU Oklahoma is going to be very good.
I honestly don't think it's going to be that close. I think LSU is going to steamroll them.
You're probably right because Oklahoma's defense, it's the best it's been in recent years. I really like Kenneth Murray. Yeah. If the Bills are able to get their hands on Kenneth Murray in the draft, do it and run because you just stole him wherever he goes. But I think their defense is the best it's been in recent years, but I don't think it's necessarily good. And Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
The SEC championship game was just the Joe Burrow game. Granted, I've watched Joe Burrow film this year, and I thought he was good, but just from even the film I've watched from his early stuff this year to now, he looks like a completely different quarterback. He looks like the modern quarterback. He seriously, teams are going to fall in love with him because not only is he accurate, he's very comfortable in his offense, but he's just, I didn't know he was that good of an athlete.
Yeah, he showed his wheels a couple times against Georgia, and Georgia's had a great defense this season. So, yeah, LSU's defense is very good.
They have that cornerback who had two picks who's very good. I think he's a true freshman. And then they have a linebacker named like Kalevon Chaisson or something. Yeah. His name rhymes. It's incredible.
But, like, it's going to be – I think the only team that will match up with them well is Clemson. I think Clemson just gets, you know, done dirty because they're in a weak conference. Like, the ACC –
I think they are overshadowed, yeah.
I think just the ACC is a poor conference, and they are just very, very good. And they know how to win big football games. So, I think the final will be Clemson and LSU. I don't know who's going to win that game. Realistically, because you got football Jesus on one side, and you have the Heisman, pretty much Joe Burrow's gonna win the Heisman. So you have Heisman winner, football Jesus. Ugh, how can you pick?
It's funny how last year, I mean, Trevor Lawrence was the talk of football. Just like in 3 years from now, he will be the number one overall pick. NFL GMs are already drooling over him. And this year, I mean, like, he added a new dynamic to this game. He can run now. He's athletic. And now the teams are just like, whatever. He kind of regressed. But then also, coming off that year that he had last year, has he lost a game? He hasn't lost a game. I don't think he's ever trailed in the second half. That's just insane. And at a point, I mean, that might be why his stock has kind of fallen. It's just like,
we get it. You're really good.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you're good, but you haven't faced adversity yet. How do I know what you're going to do in the fourth quarter of a game when you're behind, when you haven't experienced that in college? That's insane that he's, like, in the playoffs of his second year, and he hasn't faced that kind of adversity yet. He hasn't had to, hasn't been tasked with leading a fourth quarter comeback. He hasn't been tasked with making a big play in the final moments. That's insane that's even happening. But that's just because Clemson's so good. So that might be a knock next year. We'll see. Or maybe watch Clemson will just win out the rest of his career. That would be hilarious.
Yeah, and we'll like look back now and be like, oh god, wow, we're dumb.
That would just be hilarious, but we'll see. Any other college football talk? Anything else fun happen?
Army Navy is this weekend. That's a classic matchup.
Aren't they both like good now?
I think both. Yes, they are both actually good, which is interesting because I don't think that's ever happened except when football when college football first started, like, you know, back in the day. But I think that's it for college football talk. I love, like, bowl season's coming up. That's one of my favorite times of the year because you just get a bunch of random matchups that you don't really expect, and you get a lot of great games. So, you know,
UB's in the Bahamas Bowl. Hell yeah, dude! Oh,
that's good. Are they, who are they playing? Do you know?
Charlotte, the Charlotte 49ers.
Oh.
Oh yeah, they're world beaters. I stopped paying attention to UB after Matt Money Myers got hurt. Myers went to my high school, led him to a state championship, but now he's hurt. Oh. So. I don't care about UB anymore. But Charlotte, Carolina fired their head coach. Let's start a whole nother conversation.
Another hour.
What do you think about Ron Rivera getting fired?
I mean, the joke is that he's going to, you know, join Sean McDermott's defensive staff. You know, that's the joke.
I don't think he would at this point.
I don't think so either. And I, like, all of these blogs and websites saying that Sean McDermott is going to be the next coach of Carolina. No.
Who said that?
I've seen so many tweets.
Do people not know what a contract is?
No. And I don't think people understand, like, they see the connection, but, like, everything you hear Sean McDermott say about Buffalo, he really loves the city. He wants to stay.
College football. This isn't a bigger program can come and buy out your contract. That's not how it works in the NFL.
People are just
like, if people are thinking the Doug Marrone thing, how he bought himself out or how he got out of that contract, that was because he had a clause which the Bills put in his contract that if there was a change in ownership, he could opt out of his deal. That's why that happened. I doubt McDermott has a clause like that after what the Pegulas went through with Doug Marrone. I doubt they put a clause of any sort where they gave McDermott the option to opt out after 3 years or whatever. I doubt that happened. So if that's what their background is, that, like, oh, Doug Marrone got out of his contract,
really,
it's like, no. It's like, because that was a clause that the Bills chose to put in the contract themselves. Right. It was their doing.
And another, like, Brian Daboll has been mentioned as the next head coach of Carolina. I mean, good luck if he is. I really don't think Daboll will be around next season.
I don't know. I think if I was a betting man, which I'm not, I don't know much about sports betting, but if I were to bet, I would say Carolina's probably going to hire a college guy. Just because David Tepper, that's his name, right? The owner? Let me look that up so I'm not talking bull.
I don't know. I have no
idea. David Tepper. David Tepper, richest owner in the league. And also I think that has a big reason as to why Ron Rivera got fired. I will just say quickly, Ron Rivera, a very good head coach. He'll be a head coach somewhere next year.
He should be, at least.
And it'll be a good hire. But with David Tepper, he bought the team last year, and I think this has always been his goal, is I want to hire my own guy. I want to just restructure the staff, because I don't even know. They're like adding more positions to their front office, and Dan Morgan has been rumored for one of those positions. But with David Tepper, I'm sure he was like, I've wanted my own head coach for a while, and with Ron Rivera, we're probably gonna finish like 8-8 or 7-9, and so can I really fire my head coach after an 8-8 season where my former MVP quarterback went down? Can I realistically do that and not get backlash for it? No, you really can't, especially because Kyle Allen was your starter for the majority of the year. And you win 8 games with Kyle Allen, undrafted quarterback. So to fire your head coach after that seems kind of cruel. But after that game, he fired him after a loss to Washington, who have sucked this year, who are very bad. So that was probably the time when he was like, this is my first realistic opportunity to fire him and not get backlash for it, so I'm going to take it. And he just seems like the type of guy who wants to build a modern program there in Carolina. So I do think he'll bring in like a college coach, a forward-thinking guy, bring in a new GM or whatever, like really just restructure how things are done in Carolina. And he just bought an MLS team too. So I think he just wants, he's a forward-thinking guy. And because he's forward thinking because he likes soccer.
that's it. Soccer's the way of the future, you know.
Right, that's my thing there. And are they going to play? They have a huge stadium in Carolina.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be filled for MLS games. It's just not going to.
Maybe. Is it a young city?
Charlotte? Yeah. A lot of people are moving to Charlotte. A lot of people.
Maybe
it'll be like Atlanta. That would be fun.
That'd be really cool.
I think for years, Charlotte has been like one of the fastest growing cities in the country. So there you have it. The Hofbräuhaus update this week. I did some research during the show. I guess last week, Buffalo Business First or something talked to the owner who said it is going to open. So there you have it. He's been pushing back the opening date for years, but it's going to open. When? I don't know. But it'll be a glorious day when it happens. So I think that wraps up this whatever discussion this was. We had some football talk. We had some beard talk. We had some tailgating talk. We had some Panthers talk. So does that wrap it up? Anything else to add here before we get out of here?
No, not really. I mean, Sunday Night Football is going to be fun. That's it.
Sunday Night Football was last night.
You son of a bitch. yeah. Can't wait to write about Duck Hodges at 1 in the morning.
Oh, that's going to be great. Well, I'll forgive you. We've been talking for an hour and 11 minutes here. So make sure to follow Bills Wire on Twitter @TheBillsWire and on other social media platforms at some variation of that handle. McKenna, where can people find you?
You can find me @McKennaMiddle on Twitter and @McKenna_Middle on Instagram.
Nice. Good luck on your final.
Thank you.
What's the class?
I actually have two. I have operations management at 2:45 and I have strategic management at 5.
Are you a business major?
I am.
Look at you.
Oh, that's great. I'm actually looking at jobs in Portland right now, so.
Oh, you can sleep on Rich's couch.
That's right.
That'll be a lot of fun. Rich, you should have been here this week. Then you would have been here when McKenna decided to live on your couch. That's but right. Hey, you're not here to defend yourself. Make sure to follow me on Twitter @KyleSelagi and on Instagram, my food Instagram, @AndKyle. And there's a period somewhere in there. So yeah, I think that wraps up the discussion for this week. We'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.